bicycles, old busted chains, rusted handlebars out in the rain. Somebody must have an orphanage for all these things that nobody wants anymore. September's reminding July, it's time to be saying goodbye. Summer is gone, our love will remain like all broken.
Well, the song isn't really about busted bicycles, is it? But we're going to talk about broken bicycles and how they get fixed, and we're going to be talking to Bike Dave. This guy I know, he works at American Cyclery here in San Francisco. He goes by the name of Bike Dave, and we don't take that lightly. I mean, he's the kind of guy that rides Critical Mass every month and stops to fix people's tires when they get flats, and he's always got every little part you might need or whatever in his bag. And one day we'll just do a show about whatever it is he's got in his panniers, because he's got everything in his panniers that he always carries with him. Just a great guy all around, but really great to have when your bike breaks. And he works at one of the best shops in the world, American Cyclery. And we were lucky enough to get an interview with him. So we're going to go straight to it. Here we go.
Now the question is...
Okay, wait. Oh, we're over here at American Cyclery talking to Bike Dave and his partner over here, CD. And we're talking to thousands of people right now. And you were just saying you went to Walnut Creek last night to what?
To a general plan meeting about the transportation element. And there was a section in it saying that when there was road construction, that they would keep the roadway swept for bicyclists during the construction. And I pointed out that any time is a good time to keep the roadway swept for bicyclists, not just during construction, and that should be there anyway, and especially on bike lanes, because there's a big debate in the cycling community of the value of bike lanes. I told them beginners love bike lanes because they give them a feeling of safety, but experienced cyclists don't like them because it's just a debris lane, because the cars sweep the debris into the bike lane.
How do you feel about it? You're an experienced cyclist. What do you think?
I think that if you ride intelligently and are a good rider and know the way of the road, that they can be good facilities.
Bike lanes can be good in some cases.
But the major problem is that they tend to collect debris. So the vehicle code allows me to take the regular vehicle lane when there's debris in the far right of my lane.
Or animals, or pedestrians, or double parked cars.
So I pointed out to the transportation commissioners that, you know, I will take the regular lane when the debris is in the bike lane, and that the motorists tend to not like me there. They want to honk at me and point to the bike lane, but they can't see all the glass in the lane.
I think that's what makes a lot of people really anti-bike lane. I got an email to my blog about that, because he was saying that where he lives in Asheville, North Carolina, he was saying that he doesn't know how the roads are here, but he says over there, you know, all it does is collect debris and double parkers, and that he's much more in favor of having just a wide right lane that allows space for cars and bikes. But
well, wide right lanes also collect debris. That doesn't get rid of the debris. That, you know, wherever the cars are driving, it sweeps it to where they're not driving. So if it's a wide right lane, then the wide part of the lane just becomes the debris part. You know, hey, I've got an idea. Just sweep the roads more often on routes that are traveled heavily by bicycles.
Yeah, well, that's great in San Francisco. But, you know, over in Oakland, it's just really off. I find myself acting like an anti-bike lane person. I'll ride just to the left of the line. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Bike Dave is a bike mechanic, by the way, and we're sitting here in his workshop here on the world-famous American Cyclery on Stanion Street over by Golden Gate Park. And Bike Day is working on this nice Fuji road bike here.
Cyclocross.
Yeah, what do you call this kind of frame with this kind of diamond-shaped down tube?
Diamond-shaped down tube?
Okay.
I don't know.
Dave's a straightforward bike mechanic. Doesn't fool around with big words.
Sometimes, in one shop I worked at, there was a penalty if you used a 5-syllable or more word, you had to buy the beer. Because, hey, we're just bike mechanics. We're not edumacated or anything.
I don't know.
Somebody asked me on a charity ride that I did was a mechanic for, and they asked me, well, so where did you learn how to work on bikes?
I was going to ask you that.
And I'm thinking about it, and it's like, well, gee, have I ever had one bit of formal training?
You were born with
the bike jeans on?
Yeah, no, you were born with grease on your hands. Phil Wood, green grease.
Well,
and your mother said, my son's going to be a bike mechanic. You can tell he's got grease on his hands.
Yeah, I haven't had any formal training, just worked with people and picked up everybody's, all the different people I've worked with, tips, and incorporated the good ones into my own repertoire.
This is just a new bike you're assembling?
No, this is a tune-up, a major tune.
Looks like new. It hasn't got a scratch on it. Oh, okay, I'll take that back.
Got scratches, but it's clean because that's what I was doing. That's what we do, is we clean bikes.
So how'd you get your job here? You told me the story once.
How did I get my job here? Well, this was another charity ride type thing. My friends Nicole, Pyra, and JD were doing the
AIDS ride, right?
The AIDS ride, and they were having a fundraiser, and being a bike mechanic, I don't have any money to donate. So I said, well, I'll fix bikes at your party, and the people who get their bikes fixed can pay whatever they want for my services to sponsor them. So there was a woman there that brought her 3-speech win. Old rusty 3-speech commuter bike, and I was there fixing it up with what I had on hand. I brought all my tools, but I had no way of knowing what parts to bring for each bike. So I told people to bring the parts your bike needed and I'd install them. And Henry, service manager of American Cyclo, he was there with his Zen girlfriend. And he saw me working on this bike, and I was using all the tricks I'd learned and doing a lot without anything to work with, and he was impressed and invited me to work here.
And that was what, about 5, 6, 7 years ago already?
Probably 5. Mm-hmm.
So what makes this place so special? Why are you so happy to work here? I remember you saying it was such a great honor to work at American. You're so glad that Henry found you at that party.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of bike shop owners. In college towns, you find lots of bike shops and people that thought when they went to college there that, hey, there's a lot of bicyclists here. I'll open a bike shop. They weren't good at business because everybody gets that idea, and there's usually an excess of bike shops and a bunch of poor college students that don't have money to support a bunch of excess bike shops. And then there's the good business owner, bike shop owners, and they generally are not in it because they like cycling, but they're in it to support themselves. So generally they want you to do as little as possible on the bike and charge as much as possible because it's a profit organization. But here, because it's people who love bikes and ride bikes, they actually want you to do a good job. And we're certainly not the lowest price shop in town, but we probably give the best value. But it does tend to be somewhat more expensive for your average, say, dishwasher or unfortunately, the bike industry, the trend in the bike industry is, the way to make money in the bike industry is to cater to all the people with the expensive bikes, because they have all the money.
You got expensive bikes here. You got those Gunners.
Oh yeah. But as opposed to, you know, the masses that are using bikes for transportation aren't buying super expensive bikes because they just get stolen as quick as they buy them, because they park them in high theft areas and they don't really ever figure out what you need to do to avoid your bike from getting stolen, where to park it, how to lock it, to write the serial number down so when it gets stolen, if it does get recovered, you can actually maybe get it back.
Yeah, that's so much better than just sending your number to some registration company, isn't it? You can just put it put it in your freezer.
Well, yeah, the freezer's a good place for documents in case of a fire, because stuff inside the freezer doesn't typically burn in a fire, so... But it doesn't matter how you do it. If you don't have your serial number, there's no way to prove the ownership. If you don't have the original receipt, if you don't know the serial number for the police to look for your bike, they're not going to bother looking.
If they do get off their asses
and
look.
Well, it just so happens there's a used bike shop in Berkeley.
Oh, yeah, Kareem's. I read about that.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead. Tell the story.
Well, there have been stories of people that have gone to replace their stolen bike, going to this used bike shop to buy a replacement bike, and seeing their stolen bike there.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been folklore for years, 10, 15 years. There's lots of stories about that.
Yeah, there was a story about a woman who went there recently, and she saw her bike 3 days after it was stolen. She took it for a test ride and went straight to the police station.
Brought back the police with her,
I mean, Kareem's is another story, but I mean, what about, and the flea market is another story, but what about,
well,
when you go to a used bike shop, how do you know that it's not a stolen
bike? Why would
the
serial number be filed off other than
case,
it being stolen?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a red flag right there.
Yeah. So, getting back to what we were talking, with a shop like this, how do they make their money? How do you guys stay in business? Do you make money off of selling bikes, or repairing them, or selling blinkies, or all of the above?
Oh, gee, you make your money any way you can. I mean, you make money off of selling bikes. There's, you know, and the any bike takes approximately the same time to assemble. I mean, whether it's a $300 bike, $250 bike, or a production bike out of a box that's, you know, $2,000. Takes about the same time, but the higher dollar value bike, you're going to have bigger profit for the same amount of mechanics time. So that's why the expensive bikes are where bike shops are going to do the best and stay in business the longer, if they can sell enough of the expensive bikes. And nowadays, with all the bikes coming from the Pacific Rim and China, those bikes aren't always so repairable in terms of, you replace the worn out parts if you commute on one of them, cheapest bike shop bike for a year, and you ride the piss out of it. You're going to wear out a lot of parts, and you go and you replace those worn out parts at that end of the year, and the labor and the replacement parts are going to exceed what you paid for the bike.
Right.
So, you know, you might as well just buy another cheap bike. Discount store bikes from the big box stores out in Walnut Creek, they get charged for two flat tires approaches what some of these kids' single speed coaster brake bikes sell for.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you even have the flat fixed?
American has an online store too, right? Because I was going to ask you about online. Because people are listening to this. They're sitting at their computers right now.
Oh, well.
And they're like 5 seconds. They're like a click away from the Bike Nash Bar or whatever. What do you think about Bike? Tell me what you think about Bike Nash Bar.
I like to spend my money locally. Support people I know and keep it there rather than ship my money off to some corporation, whether it be Chevron or auto company. NASHBAR, I don't go anyplace else but bike shops for my parts. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, it's keeping our local mechanics in business, isn't it? I mean, if you want to have somebody to fix your bike, you're going to have to buy locally, right? That's my thinking.
Well, yeah, they're not going to ship you a mechanic to install the mail order parts you got.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep buying mail order parts, there won't be a local bike shop around for you to get that thing when you needed it faster than they could ship it to you.
Especially if you live in a small town that has maybe one or two bike shops in it.
You know, but I understand, you know, they do some pretty screaming prices sometimes. Sometimes they will sell stuff for what would bike shops pay for it. Mm-hmm. Through one way or another.
Yeah, but you do have to take a long view if you want to have a mechanic in your town.
Oh, yes. You want to buy locally. Yeah. That's good for food. It's good for bike shops. It's good for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's getting that way. So if you're a beginning, I'm just going to go through my list of questions.
Oh, that's good. Because
I actually did sit down and write some down. If you were somebody who just had a bike, what's the main thing that people don't maintain that they should maintain on their bike? What's something that anybody can do to their own bike so that they can make it last longer and ride better?
Well, anybody that rides a bike should probably know how to air their tires. That's the number one most important thing. Air in the tires keeps the rims from getting damaged from hitting bumps.
Getting pinch flats.
And pinch flats. Mm. And you should be able to put air in your tires. You probably should have your own pump if you don't have access to one easy at a local service station if they still give out air. The next most, and tires are neglected. I mean, when you get a flat or it's bald, most people can figure that it's time to replace their tire or inner tube. But the most neglected thing would have to be the drivetrain. Mm-hmm. I go by so many people and their chains are just squeaky.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bird's nest.
Yeah,
in the back.
It's got like old gum on it from who knows when.
And so a lot of people don't lubricate their chains frequently enough to where they don't wear, and some of the people that do lubricate their chains regularly don't really understand why they need to and how they need to.
Yeah, and wipe it off every now and then, I guess, too, huh?
Or clean it, wipe it off. The chain does not need lubrication on the cogs or the chain rings. That's not where the majority of the wear. You know, if you lubricate your chain, there's going to be enough lube that will transfer onto the chain rings and cogs to lubricate those if they need any at all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about where the friction is. And if you look at the chain, there's inner plates and outer plates. There's a full link involves four rollers in the center and two inner plates and two outer plates. And all the friction is where the inner plate and the outer plates meet. And your chain's going around the cogs in a circle or an oval, and there's friction between those plates. Hmm. If you get dirt, sand is probably the worst thing for your bike, because you get all that, and mountain biking, you get that fine dust in between those plates and you're riding, and it just wears away the material. So you get, you know, that wears
your
chain.
So you actually need to wash it off every now and then, too.
So it's best to be able to clean your chain, but if it's not lubricated, it's going to wear out a whole lot quicker than if it is lubricated.
What do you guys use here to lube? Use a TriFlow. Oh, you use the
T9 Bow Shield or TriFlow or good lubes. I'm not a big wax lubricant, like some of the ice waxes and White Lightning, I guess, because it really builds up.
Yeah, I liked it for a while, and I got pretty sick of it suddenly.
It builds up, and it's pretty hard to get off of the parts.
But generally what I do to lube a chain is I get my bike leaned up in a way or on a bike stand where I can back pedal or forward pedal without bike moving, so it's easier target to get the lube where I want it. And then between the front chain rings and the back derailleur or cog or whatever it is on your bike, that lowest part of the chain with parallel to the ground usually, I will back pedal and then lube on either side of the chain between the side plates as I
You do on both
grip
sides?
It on.
So you like do like one revolution and then another
on
one?
On the left side or the outside portion and then on one on the inside of the chain, because that's where your side plates are on either sides. The center of the chain on those rollers, those don't need the lube. And I should have said first, I would back pedal with a rag and wipe the excess dirt, you know, clean the chain off the bike. If you have a chain cleaner, if there's some way you can clean the chain, clean it. Wipe off the excess dirt if you can't clean it. Lube it, and then let the lube set in, and then wipe off the excess lube, because anything on the outside of the chain that doesn't make it into between those plates is just going to collect more dirt, especially if you're using a sticky lube. That's what I like about T9, is once it's on there, T9 Bow Shield, it pretty much doesn't attract as much dirt. So it is a wax base, but it's not as heavy a wax as the ice waxes and white lightnings.
I've been using this, do I have it in my pocket here? No, I use this Dumont Tech, which costs like $10 a bottle, but it's, and it only lasts about maybe 300 miles, but it's so silent and it's so clean, especially the light stuff.
It's good. I've used that and I liked it pretty much. There's another one, that Purple Extreme. It's what they lube underwater oil platform machinery with.
Oh, really?
And it worked. It's probably even better than Dumont Tech for how long it lasts and not needing a lot of frequent application.
And that cost $20 a bottle, so it...
I don't know. I just used free samples until they were done.
That's the advantage of working in a bike shop. So it's also good to like change your chain every... How many miles would you say? Because that'll save your cogs and chain ring, right, if you do that regularly?
Yes, the chains physically stretch and elongate, the side plates elongate, and as those elongate, it opens up the smile on your teeth of your chain rings and your cogs wider. And then when you go and put a new chain on old cogs, it doesn't mesh properly and you can get skipping. But if you replace your chain more frequently, you can get more miles out of your cogs. And what I do is...
Because it can be expensive to change your cogs and your chain and your chain ring.
Oh, yeah, depending on your parts.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And a chain only costs, what, $15 for a nice one?
Yeah, 15 and up. And you know, that's one of the fixies are so popular, single speeds, because you don't have to replace but two cogs, you know, one cog and one chain ring. Mm-hmm. So you... And they tend to be a wider chain if it's a one-speed half by an eighth chain, so they're stronger and they're going to get more miles out of them. But your question was, how long do chains last? That's a function of how you ride your bike. Bicycling is an aerobic exercise, or in my mind it should be, people that are riding for exercise. And that means to be aerobic, you need to keep a pedal cadence of one complete revolution of your pedals per second or faster. People like Lance Armstrong keep 120 RPM. So that's kind of like the highest you could ever hope to do. And that's,
he does 120, really?
He can
like twice
sustain 120 for quite a while. Wow. But 60 is the benchmark. It's easy to do without getting a cadence computer to figure that out for you. You just count one 1,000, and the pedal at the top when you started should come around a complete revolution, and then you're doing 60 RPM. Recreational cyclists, 80 to 100 is a really good average. People can do in reasonable shape can do 80 to 100. But by keeping higher RPMs rather than torquing low RPMs, you don't put as much force on the chain, so it's not going to tend to stretch because you're not pushing as hard.
It's probably for the same reason, easier on your knees too.
And easier on your knees. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I see people riding their bikes and they come into the shop and you can see which cogs they wear because they're polished silver. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that the person never took the bike out of high gear and they just ride it that way. I see people riding it that way. And I'm pretty sure that they have the feeling that they're getting more exercise because they're having to work harder.
Well, I guess, or maybe they're being macho or something.
I don't know. But they, to me, you know, it's better on your body. It's better for your body and your cardiovascular system. You don't build as many bulk muscles. I mean, if you want to build bulk muscle, you can go and do intervals and go climb the same hill 10 times in a row, you know, and you can build muscle that way. But you should also mix that up with long rides, spinning high RPMs.
Or just going to work every day.
Hey, that's how I lost my beer belly, was gave up my car.
You had now, a beer belly?
At times, you know. And that way I incorporate my exercise every day, just by getting around, whether I want to or not. I kind of have to.
Yeah, rain or shine. Well, that was interesting. I learned something there. What else?
Okay. Oh, I can tell you how to clean chains. That's an easy one.
Okay.
Well, depending on your chain, you might need to take it off. Well, to get, do the best cleaning, you need to submerge your chain in solution. And the easiest way to do that is not to put your whole bike in the solution, but to take your chain off the bike and put it in solution. So if you have a master link, that's pretty easy to get a master link off of one speed. If you have a derailleur chain...
Master link is the little link that in the middle that you just, you can disconnect it.
Well, master links are what typically comes on single and three-speed chains, and they're usually three pieces with a clip. The last piece to go on is a clip that holds it all together. There's some older, although you don't see them much anymore, two-piece master links for that type of chain. Mm-hmm. But now the derailleur chains, which are half by 3/32, will typically have, or can have, SRAM's version is called a power link. Whipperman makes one. I don't remember what they call theirs, but it's a mirror. It's a two-piece link that's kind of a mirror image of itself, and it fits together, and you can take it on and off without a tool.
Okay.
So that makes it easy. If you get one of those links or a chain with one of those links, you can take your chain off your bike easy without a chain tool and put it in your solution.
And it's okay to use things to dissolve the grease in your tank on the chain, because I actually was surprised to see on the little flyer that came with my SRAM chain, it said don't use degreasers or anything on the chain. Is it?
I don't know why they say that. I mean, I don't...
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. I mean, sometimes they... I mean,
The thing is, you probably don't want to leave that stuff on your chain, so you have to clean that off somehow.
Mm-hmm. And what's a degreaser? Like 409 or...?
I use citrus degreasers, or I clean it at work. I know some people that swear by Dawn dishwashing liquid. It's
got
grease cutters in it, so... Huh. But the easy way, once you get your chain off the bike, is to get a wide mouth soda bottle. Would be a little easier.
Yeah,
any
Gatorade
soda bottle, a plastic bottle, and drop your chain, thread your chain into it if it's got a narrow mouth, or it's a little easier if it's got a wide mouth. Put your cleaning solution in it, shake it up, screw back on the top, shake it up. And one thing about lubing the chains too is it's probably best to lube your chain before, well before you go and ride your bike, giving it time to settle in so that it doesn't just fly off when you start spinning your pedals.
Yeah.
If you lube it just, you know, minutes before you go off and ride it, a lot of it's going to fly off onto your rear wheel and make my job in cleaning your bike more difficult, which I don't appreciate. And it's going to fly all over the place, including your legs, perhaps. So it's better to lube your chain after a ride, or well before you can ride again.
Well, I'm not taking my chain off because I ride a fixie, and I'm really afraid to put a quick master link on mine, just because one once came off and I lost my chain on Market Street, and I don't want that ever to happen.
That's your brakes too.
Yeah. Well, I had a brake that time, but I didn't actually. You know, it was 90% of the times it's going to happen, it's going to be okay, but there's that one time it might happen when... Anyway, so I basically just wipe it off, but I've noticed that with my, you know, I just punish my chain on that kind of bike. With or without a brake, you really punish those fixie chains, so you really have to...
They kind of get wear both directions.
Yeah.
Starting and stopping.
Well!
It gleams. That's a gleaming Fuji.
Yeah, I think it's done. I guess I could put some air in the tires.
I'm gonna get out of your way. Anything else you want to say? I'm gonna have to edit this down.
Oh! I can say my haiku.
Yeah?
My bicycle haiku.
Give it to me, lay it on me.
Bicycles move me around town, to work, for play. Freedom on two wheels.
All right. And that wraps up another Bikescape.
Hey! There's a bicycle broken! Up the road!
Thanks. This sounds like a job for bicycle repairman. But how to change without revealing my secret identity?
If only bicycle repairman were here!
Wait! I think I know where I can find him. Look! Over there!
Bicycle repairman? The fuck? Look! Is it a stockbroker?
Is it a quantity surveyor?
Is it a church warden?
No! It's bicycle repairman!
Why? Bicycle repairman! Thank goodness you've come. Look.
He's mending it with his own hand.
See how he uses a spanner to tighten that nut.
Oh, bicycle repairman, how can I ever repay you?
Well, you don't need to, Gump. It's all right. It's all in a day's work for bicycle repairman.
Our hero!
So there we go, another Bikescape. Let's just go through the news real fast. I realize we're running a little late. We don't want to go too long. But let's see. How about a little music first? A little Magnunia. A little music? Where is it? Okay, well. Oh, there we go. All right. Let's see here. We got Bicycle Polo, Tuesday, the 21st. Oh, that's today. You're going to miss it, but it's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Let's turn the music down. Always have to deal with that. Okay, anyway, it's every Tuesday, so you can check it out next Tuesday. It's always on Tuesday at about, let's see, Bicycle Polo, Golden Gate Park, Tuesdays from 6 p.m. to around 8 p.m. The location is in the Speedway Meadow in Golden Gate Park, just east of the polo field, along the bike path that angles down from JFK Drive. Balls and mallets provided. Everyone is welcome. Easy to learn. Big fun. It's big fun, let me tell you. And there's lots of beer, and nobody really keeps score. It's not competitive, but you can play hard if you want to. TLC, Transportation for a Livable Community, is learn to enunciate for podcasting here. They have a few actions they're urging people to take part in. Support traffic calming, safer streets, and having auto drivers pay their fair share. What's at stake? TLC is actively supporting several pieces of state legislation that directly affect San Francisco, and three of these bills could be heard this Tuesday at the Senate Transportation Committee in Sacramento. A summary of these bills is now online at legalinfo.ca.gov/billinfo.html, one of those kind of web addresses. Please take a minute to email or fax a letter of support to these important bills. You can look for a link on the show notes in a few days. It might take me a couple days to get them up there. The important bills are AB 452, a vehicle impact bill. This bill would authorize the city to conduct a study to determine how much damage is caused to city streets by cars and trucks, and then allow the Board of Supervisors to impose a small vehicle impact fee to pay for street maintenance and repairs, including resurfacing and restriping of sidewalks, bike lanes, and bus-only lanes. There's also a double fine zone, AB 1208, Leland Yee, double fine zone on 19th Avenue, Park Presidio. Bill would create a safety enhancement zone on Highway 1 as it runs through San Francisco, which is basically 19th Avenue and Park Presidio Boulevard, doubling the fines. We want to also, AB 799, Mark Leno's bill, restore local vehicle license fee to 2%. This bill would authorize the Board of Supervisors by majority vote to place an initiative on future ballot to ask voters if they want to restore San Francisco's VLF to 2%. Make those drivers pay their way, that's what I say. Also, they want, TLC is asking for people to, they've been tracking the development of a new plan and zoning changes for the Mid-Market neighborhood, which is a part of town that's going to be going through major changes over the next few years. It has some of the best transit access in the entire Bay Area and some of the most critical transit, bike, pedestrian corridors in the city. It's the car ownership rates in the neighborhood are extremely low, but the rates of pedestrian and bicycle industries are tragically high. They're worried that, unfortunately, the current plan for Mid-Market allows for every new housing unit to have its very own parking spot, which is like the zoning rule, meaning future development in this area will add more traffic to already congested areas. So the plan also allows for three stories of above-ground parking, meaning more parking and less housing will be built than if all the parking was required to be underground. So they would like you to take action. The streets of Mid-Market and surrounding neighborhoods are currently congested with auto traffic, and future plans to make improvements for transit, bicyclists, and pedestrians in the area will be made more difficult, if not impossible, if excessive parking is allowed. The car-centric Mid-Market proposal will be heard by the Planning Commission this Thursday, so please let them know that they are opposed to allowing one-to-one residential parking and three stories above grade parking in Mid-Market. Email the Planning Commission at linda.avery@sfgov.org or email also marshall.foster@sfgov.org and let them know how you feel. There will be links in the show notes. What else have we got? The Biker Bulletin. We're just going to do San Francisco today. No time for New York. I'm sorry. Let's see. We'll skip over a few things. Cesar Chavez is ready for better biking on Cesar Chavez Avenue. Long-time list-topping candidate for improvement in the citywide bike network and much in need of some merciful traffic calming, Cesar Chavez is due for some bike and pedestrian improvements. Don't you think? I think so. If that's what you're thinking too, and I am, and you're interested in getting involved, please join the campaign as we gear up for action. We'll be having an initial Cesar Chavez committee meeting on Tuesday, June 28th at 6 p.m. at the SFPC's office, 995 Market at 6th on the 15th floor. We need the usual mix of civic-minded cyclists, neighbors, and do-gooders who move this project along to a happy ending. So you can contact good old Andy Thornley there at 431-BIKE at extension 307. Or you can write to Andy at sfbike.org. What else? We're going to skip over a few things. Kareem gets a flat. We heard it. You already heard that first over here on Bikescape. Support the transit bills. We already heard about that. Bike Ed Day 2 course this weekend. Bike Ed Day 2 course this weekend. If you went to Bike Ed course one. This is the intermediate class. A 6-hour on-the-road course provides an opportunity to put into practice what we learned on day one. That will be on Thursday, July 28th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Department of the Environment at 11 Grove at Market. SFBC board meeting, 6:30 p.m. at 985 Market Street, 15th floor. Critical Mass, of course, 6 p.m. June 6 p.m. Justin Herman Plaza. This Friday, we don't cause traffic, we are traffic. The Pride Parade, the Gay Pride Parade. There will be valet bike parking, and they're going to be over by the entrance to UC Hastings College of Law and McAllister and Hyde. The SF Bicycle Messengers Association will also be marching in there, as well as the people from the AIDS ride, and you can go too. You can watch them or participate. Also, we're going to be doing... I am leaving tomorrow for Bike Summer down in Los Angeles, California. It's going to be... it's been going on all month. And if you're anywhere near the area, come on down. I'd love to meet you. If you're in Los Angeles, come down to... I'll be at the Time's Up event on Thursday night. Take a look at bikesummer.org and look at their calendar. There's a Time's Up... get together on Thursday night. There's Critical Mass on Friday night. Those of us coming down from San Francisco, we're putting on our own traditional Friday pre-Critical Mass gin and tonic party. You're all invited as soon as we figure out where it's going to be. If you're in LA and you have a place for us to have this party, and it's not too far, within a couple of miles of the starting point of Critical Mass, please, please, it'll be fun. We'll clean up. We'll buy the gin, we'll buy the tonic, we'll buy the ice and the cups, and we'll clean up afterwards, and we'll have a lot of fun too. And is that it? I believe it is. So let's fade out with a little song. Just lasts for a few seconds. The Residents, old San Francisco band. Take care, everybody. See you in LA. All right, let's try that again.
Passing me.